Hi, we are Angie and Annalie, and this is Brain Basement, a podcast where two friends who used to do yoga together in a basement now chat about chaos and wellness. As moms, we understand chaos. As expats, we get what that chaos looks like when you take it overseas.
From Manila to San Jose, we share stories of living abroad and explore topics around mental and emotional well-being. This podcast is for expat moms who want to find wellness amidst the chaos of everyday life. Welcome to Brain Basement. We're so glad you're here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Brain Basement. Today, we're going to be talking about the voices in your head.
And not a totally kind of one flew over the cuckoo's nest situation in the way that we all have those thoughts running through our mind that we're kind of aware of when we're doing something sort of telling us maybe we're not doing it right, and the voices in our head like that. So before we discuss, we can bring in a little bit of mindfulness with Annalie.
Hey, everyone. So let's just take a moment to kind of slow down, no matter what you're doing or where you are. And one way to start slowing down is just to kind of notice the sensations in your body. If you're experiencing any tightness or tension anywhere, really relaxed or kind of loose, you can take a minute to acknowledge those sensations as well. And another way to slow down is bringing your attention to your breath. So let's just take three deep breaths, and you can go at your own here. But I encourage you to deep inhale to pause at the top of that breath just for a moment before you release into the exhale. So I'll just give you and me and us a moment to do that. And as you're breathing, you might think about how that breath feels as it moves in and out of your, if it feels calming to you and relaxing and nourishing, or maybe there's some stress around the breath or even a bit of anxiety, and just take note of whatever that is. And there's no need to judge or think twice about what you're feeling, but just take a minute to note it and notice it. And as you wrap up those deep breaths, just go back to a comfortable, normal rhythm of breathing. And you can also, since we're talking about kind of these voices or in our minds or our thinking mind today, can bring some awareness to your mind and think about what it's been doing today. Has it been really active? Thoughts moving quickly or frantically, or has it been dull or even a little listless, like not? And again, just like the breath, no need to interpret what you're noticing, just notice it. notice where your mind has been today. And just to wrap up, let's just take one more big deep breath, pausing at the top. And on the exhale, just release all the oxygen out of your body, returning back to a comfortable rhythm of breathing again. All right, let's talk about this, Angie.
All right, let's talk about the little voices in our mind. Thank you. Now that we've settled in and checked in with our mind. So I had this, I work with teenagers a lot, and we talk about the thoughts that run through our mind and how we have thoughts that we may have learned as children. It could be something like, I'm good at math, or I'm bad at drawing. Just something simple that we've kind of adopted as truth, but it's really just a thought that we have. We could maybe be excellent artists, but we haven't practiced that, or, you know, found our zen when drawing, something like that. Or we could be terrible at math, but we just work really hard at it, and so we think we're successful. Not that these things are necessarily true one way or the other. And so we've talked about the voices in our mind, how sometimes I hear a voice that's like a negative voice that I have in my mind. So I think this has been portrayed as, you know, like a little angel on your shoulder and a little devil on your shoulder telling you, you shouldn't do that, or you should do that, or this will be a lot of fun, or this could end badly, those voices. And I, rather than thinking of them as those images, I have talked to kids about thinking of them as the Winnie the Pooh characters, kind of in your mind, right? So there's Tigger there, who's like the fun voice, right? That's when you hear the voice that's like, let's try this, I want to do that. You see the water slide and you want to go for it, or, you know, you want to go rock climbing. Those kinds of things are coming from the Tigger voice. And then the critical voice is, of course, Rabbit. And we have the frightened, that anxiety voice is Piglet, who's always thinking like, I'm not sure I can do this, I don't know what it's like. And so now I kind of can identify, is that the Piglet voice? Am I in a place of anxiety? And then if we think of the Winnie the Pooh voice in our mind, right, he's just calm, that book, The Tao of Pooh, right? He's just kind of balanced. He's not stressed about anything. He's not overly excited about anything. He doesn't think things that most people would consider awful. He doesn't think of it as awful. He's just kind of going along with what happens. So I try to identify with what that Pooh voice is saying. And at different times, I seek out different voices. So if I hear that Rabbit voice, I think, I don't need you right now, Rabbit. Thanks that you're here, but I'm gonna go for what would Pooh be thinking in this situation. So in one way, I'm just exposing myself as being totally weird in thinking about my thoughts this way. But I proposed this idea to Anna Lee. What do you think about describing your thoughts as the voices of the cast of Winnie the Pooh?
So I love this idea of relating our mind to Winnie the Pooh and his little community, because I mean, if you're crazy, then I am too, because I mean, I think I've said before on this podcast, I'm really like 5 years old inside, just walking around in a mid 30-year-old body. I love Winnie the Pooh. And when you brought up the idea, one of the things you said was, you know, even though Eeyore's a little gloomy, and like you said, Rabbit can be super annoying and like that voice of anxiety, that the fact is like the Winnie the Pooh community is so friendly. Like everyone plays a really important role and they're all friends. You know, like Rabbit's still our friend, even though, is Rabbit a boy or a girl?
I don't really know. I've wondered that myself, okay. Right? Like Kanga is so, she's a mom, but yeah. Rabbit is, he's kind of ambiguous, which is very modern, yeah. So progressive of yes. Rabbit. And
maybe
that
I should,
critical voice yeah. can be male or yeah. female. We're all doing that.
Yeah. I wanted to say he, but I'll just say they. Yeah, to be more. But any either way, like Rabbit's really important too. Because a lot of times Rabbit is like the voice of reason. And even though, I'll just go with he can be, yeah, that underlying voice of anxiety and worry and this isn't going to work. But I like that point that you made that, you know, some of these characters, if we personify them as different thoughts that come into our minds, sometimes, you know, there's thoughts that come into my mind that I really want to get rid of and suppress because they don't serve me. But when I'm thinking about it in terms of Winnie the Pooh in this little village, where do they live? I'm blanking on it.
Anna Lee in the Hundred Acre Wood.
Yes.
The like Hundred Acre Wood
every other
of our mind.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh my gosh. Even that is a really good parallel because I feel like our brains have so much capacity to cover all different sorts of thinking, right? 100 acres worth.
Oh, that's true. It's huge. It's yeah. vast.
Yeah. But I love this analogy. I totally resonate with it. And it feels like a friendly analogy versus one that's like, you know, our thinking mind is bad. You know, it's
yes,
there's
right.
all these different voices and they're okay. They're just,
I like that too. Forms. Right. It's like, you don't want to kill anyone of the, you know, members from Winnie the Pooh cast. It's like Owl is that arrogant voice. If I'm just like, okay, Eeyore, like there you are. I can kind of hear that thought in my mind. It gives me like a playful way to stay in touch with what I'm thinking. Like whose voice is that right now? Like who just said that comment? Is that coming from a negative place or the Eeyore is the like, woe is me, like everything's terrible, right? You're just like, okay, I hear you. Or maybe I'm just gonna go with the Tigger voice right now and think it's gonna be fun. And what's the other perspective, right? You just think, what would someone else say right now? What would Christopher Robin be thinking? And it's just like, you're there, you can acknowledge it and you don't have to push it away, which is kind of what we're yeah. saying on every podcast, right? It's like, how do you be 1 month out from moving with four kids, your husband gone? I'm asking you this, Annalie, that's where you are, right? And how do you not hear the Rabbit voice all the time?
I mean, I do. Like, as I was thinking about this podcast, I thought, what thoughts have been going through my mind since, you know, I've been, yes, single parenting and packing our family up. And I often think, I mean, this is just honest, but I have the thought, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And it usually happens around 4 p.m. and I've worked all day on, you know, organizing something or piling something up. The kids have done their thing and everyone's kind of going nuts at that time of day. And I'm tired and mm-hmm. a lot of times at my wit's end. And I'm telling myself this message that I can't do the next thing, mm-hmm. whatever it is, like, you know, help someone with their homework or finish cleaning off the counter so that we can start making dinner. And I just think that's interesting. Like, if I don't notice that thought, but I'm still telling myself that, then like what comes out of that thought? There's emotions that come out of that thought. There's behavior that comes out of that thought. And, you know, not to even judge myself in that moment, like I should be doing this or thinking that, but I think it's just interesting to just think about the messages I'm sending myself without even realizing it. And what does that translate into at that time of the day? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Plus, it's just genius that you are in this situation and you realize that there's a thought happening that is, I can't do this, right? Like, I think, how many moves have I gone through where I've had that thought, but I didn't know it was a thought. I didn't even know it was there. I didn't know it was happening. It's just like such an automatic, like CD on repeat in my brain that I don't even know it's there. And just you probably saying out loud, like, oh, I'm having this thought, that's acknowledging so much to be able to realize, like, I probably can do this. Or you don't even have to go to like, I can definitely do this. I can do all of
right.
this. Right. It's not switching from like Eeyore or Piglet into Pooh, but you're just like, but maybe I can just recognize someone is just saying this. It's just a sentence that I can't do this. It doesn't mean it's true. And what effect is it having? Because I think that's part of it too. You think like, if I am thinking this all the time, like I'm probably trying to prove myself right. Right. Then when I like burn the grilled cheese, I'm like, yep, I was right. You're just like looking for all of that. But if I hadn't burned the grilled cheese, I wouldn't start thinking, I can do this. I'm awesome. I wouldn't even notice. If the grilled cheese was a success, it does not impact me thinking, I can't do this, you know?
Totally. Well, and I like what you said. It's not like me acknowledging that thought then will lead me to like a Pollyanna thought, like, I'm awesome and can conquer anything, you know, for the next 6 hours of the day. But thinking about, you know, the Winnie the Pooh characters, I could get a little curious, maybe, like if I channeled my inner Piglet, like, why am I saying I can't do this? And I think more often than not, it's like, I'm tired, you know, like that's the common sense behind it. It's like, well, it is the end of the day and you've worked all day and maybe you're just tired. And so that's the thought that your mind is giving you because your body's fatigued. Yeah. And I hear like Piglet, you know, that little friendly voice, like, go take a nap, you know, like, and that's comforting to get curious about that instead of like judging myself, like, oh, I'm never going to get all my ducks in a row for this move. Exactly. You know?
Yeah. I think that is helpful. And we do like, I just think if it has to be one or the other, I have to be in this positive mindset to be successful, which is not true at all. I've gotten through lots of moves without a positive mindset and with things kind of scattered and disorganized, and it happens. I can do this, but it's just like coming from a place. And I think that's what we want the podcast to be, right? And our listeners to hear is just like, these things are messy and imperfect. And just acknowledging that is already feels like a step towards mindfulness. That's being in the moment, right? Acknowledging that the, you know, Eeyore voice might have been the strongest voice today. And it's sort of a creative way of checking in with your thoughts. I've talked to teenagers about the Friends cast, the cast of Friends. I don't know if you watch the show, right? And Monica's like a perfectionist, so she's the critical voice. We've got like Chandler is worried about everything. you know, Joey is like the Tigger, he's like the goofball, Phoebe's oblivious. We have like the different roles there, or superhero characters, or I just, whatever appeals to someone, but trying to get them to hear their thinking in different voices is just kind of a fun way to look at it.
Yeah. And I think it's cool that you're kind of bringing it into this more playful space, because in this class I'm taking, we've been talking about the importance of play, and like there's actually science behind play, that as we make some of these like human behaviors more playful and we get really curious and like creative with them, we're taking ourselves less seriously. And that's a place where like we can really learn something, as opposed to like a really serious, like rigid approach to our relationship with ourselves, like a really judging, rigid feedback. Like we're giving ourselves that feedback. It's like, well, how can I just loosen up around this? You know, like where's, like you said, like if Friends resonates with me, then it's like, oh, where's Phoebe right now? You know, or Joey. And one thing I heard too is, like speaking of maybe the more critical voice, like the inner critic, like maybe that would be Eeyore or something, or Ross. I don't know. Ross. It's, he feels anxious to me, right? Like he has an Ross underlying sort of an anxiety energy.
Character. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little wound up all the time. But like I started calling my inner critic, or that negative unconscious voice, Richard.
Yeah, I remember that. Like,
and you know what? Even doing that, I don't know where Richard came from. And like, no offense to anyone. Do you think anyone listening is named Richard? Or yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's so irrelevant.
But it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Name is, it could be. It's like a character. It's creating that character persona in your mind. Yes. Go on. Tell us about Richard.
Yeah. It's like, well, then all of a sudden I'm like acknowledging that Richard isn't necessarily me. Like at 4 p.m., it's not like, you know, I'm having my best, most productive thoughts. And, you know, we know that like our thoughts aren't facts all the time. They aren't legitimate, objective sources of information. We get crazy stuff going through our brains all the time. So to be able to like create a little bit of space and then call that thinking person Richard, then I can like talk to Richard, you know, like, hey, Richard, you're showing up, you know, it's 4 p.m. I expected to see you, and sure, you know, you're here. And and I think it's healthy to create that space, and it helps in, just not taking ourselves so seriously and kind of loosening up around that voice of judgment.
I think that's so true. It's like when you can think of it as Richard instead of thinking like, is that true? It is true. Like, I definitely can't do this. We're not trying to identify like what's true, because you'll try to prove to yourself, right? Like, it really is true because I'm taking a whole class right now. Like, I'm doing all this extra work and my husband's gone. Plus, I have 4 little children. Plus, we're wrapping up the end of the school year. Plus, I'm, you know, moving out and renters will be in my home soon. So I'm preparing for that. And family visits. Like, you have a million things going on. So we could definitely say that it's true. I can't do all of this. Like, I absolutely need a nap at 4 p.m. But instead of trying to analyze, is this true? This is true. I can't do it. You're just thinking of it like, okay, Richard, hi, welcome back. Like, hello, rabbit. Thanks for coming for tea at 4 p.m. Now I'm going to lay down and try to close my eyes on the couch while my kids climb all over me or whatever is happening, right?
Totally. Another idea I heard was like giving that voice an accent. And so that's like even a little bit of separation, you know, from ourselves too. It's like, well, here's, you know, and then you can talk to yourself in that accent if you're feeling super playful.
It's perfect because Piglet has that little stutter. He's always like, poo, where's the, you know, so you can like start to hear your anxiety in that darling, like sweet, like Piglet is not a bad guy, right? He's just like fearful. He's looking out for you. He's scared of like the wind and the leaves. Like he's scared of everything. Oh. And then you get to be like hearing things in that voice, like, okay, we're gonna be safe. Thanks for, you know, making sure we're okay.
Yeah. It's true.
Does Richard have an accent, Annalie?
No, I have not gotten that playful. He just has a name and it works. And it makes me feel like I'm, you know, 80 or 90, because then I just start talking to myself in my head, but it's helpful.
What was that movie that had all the emotions as little different characters? And like,
yeah, Inside Out.
Oh, right. Yeah, I did not love everything about that movie or what it was
me neither.
Teaching, but I do recognize that like each emotion could have its own personality, like its own little representative characteristics, and whoever wears glasses and whoever, I don't know, has an accent or talks really slow in voice.
I know that movie kind of rubbed me a little wrong. Like the elephant part was just downright like nutty, but I loved that in the end, Sadness was really the heroine, you know, that, you know, Joy takes the stage for most of the show, or it feels like, you know, of course Joy is going to win in the end. But I think the idea was that, yeah, they all contributed, but it was ultimately Sadness that allowed that little girl to realize stuff that she couldn't have seen without feeling sad.
Yeah.
That Joy might not have provided. So.
Right. And that sadness is essential, is part of our life. We can't, wasn't there something in the movie where they tried to eliminate it or?
I can't. Yes. Even.
I blocked
it. Was like erasing memories, right? The blue balls or something.
Oh, yeah. There's so many problems with that.
It was not a rewatch for me. I saw it once and then I walked away.
I have a couple of movies for my kids are like, why can't we watch that? But we're allowed to watch like Iron Man with all this violence. And I'm like, yeah, violence is fine. But some things could really mess you up, like Inside Out or Toy Story 2 or 3. I can't remember which one it is where that purple bear, you completely trust him and then he is evil. And sends them to their death and they're all looking into each other's eyes. I mean, that is so disturbing to me. I'd much rather you watch Infinity War with all kinds of violence than Toy Story.
I also have a problem with Pete the Magic Dragon.
I haven't seen that in a long time. I don't like it when Shrek is like, Fiona says she's pregnant and he just wants to run away or like abandon all the babies. I can't even remember what happens, but I was like, this movie's terrible.
I don't even know how many sequels Shrek has because I didn't make it past the first, but I think there's a lot.
I don't know which one Shrek, one time Fiona says she's pregnant and he just wants to run away, I think. Or maybe she has twins. I can't remember exactly. I think he does run away. So not
good job, Shrek. Yeah. Terrible role model.
Shrek is one in your head.
Yeah. Let's not use Shrek as a metaphor for our mind. But all of this too, like the idea of, you know, Inside Out or Winnie the Pooh or Friends, like I picture what it's bringing to mind is that analogy that Elizabeth Gilbert uses in her book, Big Magic, that we've talked about, that, you know, everyone's going to come in the car on this trip that we're about to take. And, you know, everyone's going to cram into this car, and sadness, anger, loneliness, resentment, joy, all of it. And just recognizing, she says with this analogy, like, just think to yourself that, you know, it's not a matter of like kicking someone to the curb, like fear, but just acknowledging that fear can be in the car, but fear doesn't necessarily have to be driving, or anger doesn't have to be driving. Like, you get to choose what emotion you want to take charge, you know, and maybe that's, I don't know, whatever emotion feels like the most, the best in the moment. But acknowledging that, I guess I just resonate with that, because if I try to eliminate fear or eliminate the anxiety of moving somewhere new, it doesn't really work. Like, the more I resist against that, it seems to build and be stronger. But if I'm like, yeah, get in, you know, we're all going together.
Yeah. Except for Shrek. Leave Shrek on the set. Do not let him in.
Totally.
I'm not letting Shrek in with someone else. No, I think you're right. It's that cast of characters, it like that makes up who we are, right? Like, I cannot be me without sadness, without stress, without, and who would even want to hang out with that person, right? Like, who wants to have me over if I'm like, I'm happy all the time. Everything is perfect. Like, I don't want to talk to that person. So I think it's such a good place of acceptance. Like, we're all in the car, all the emotions are here, all the facets of what makes us who we are. And I don't hate any of these pieces, right? I don't hate that insecure part of myself. I don't hate that anxious part of myself. I kind of just realize that they're there. That's part of me. It's mm-hmm. okay. but it takes such a long time to get to, or for me, I didn't understand this when I was 17. I didn't understand it when I was 8. I didn't understand it when I was 26. I did feel like, where's the happy version of myself? Like, when do I get to that part? Is it after if I get the right degree, or I get the right job, or I, you know, have my happy marriage? Like, when is the part where you're just happy all the time? And mm-hmm. you don't acknowledge the whole cast. You're just trying to like kick Eeyore out all the time. And
mm-hmm.
is big and immovable. So it doesn't always work. Sorry, yeah. If there's background noise in this. I have.
No, yeah. It's a party. It's your car. It's loaded.
This is what's hot. That's right. This is my life. I'm recording a podcast and there's background stuff happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of stuff that we didn't know, I didn't know, you know, that my thoughts weren't facts until just a few years ago. Like, thoughts would come through my head and I just believed them a lot of times. Like, oh, that's got to be true. You know, like, maybe, you know, using this example of like, I can't do that. Like, I literally can't do that. Like, as opposed to now, you know, fast forward a few years, and it's not like I'm perfect at it, but at least I have just an awareness that like, no, I got all sorts of thoughts running through my head. And so does everyone else. And we're not alone in that. And we don't have to feel like crazy cuckoo head for just acknowledging, just knowing that, like, that's the science, you know, that our brains are serving us information and thoughts all the time that we don't have to latch onto or get hooked by as like a profound belief that we have to then live by, you know?
Exactly. That's right. And isn't it, it's like 60,000 thoughts a day. What is the What is the science on how many thoughts run through our brain?
Exactly. And then the percentage of those that are unconscious, like that we don't even realize that we're having, which it escapes me now, but the numbers are interesting. The amount of thoughts that we're actually consciously thinking that are coming out of like the prefrontal cortex is a very small amount.
And it's like that, it's like going back to the breath. Like we think, how many breaths are we taking every day that we're not paying any attention to? And those breaths are becoming those shallow, automatic, you know, quick through the mouth responsive, like heightened anxiety kind of, or heightened protective state. And then we're not even aware that we could be breathing slowly through our nose, impacting all our systems, right? We, like, things are happening with our body and we're just not aware of the physicality of it as it is happening to us every day. And so I think like with our thoughts, it's just that awareness is so helpful. It sounds so silly and trite, like awareness, like you don't have to study things. You don't have to take, you know, 4 years of neuroscience classes, but to just be aware, how am I breathing right now? What am I thinking? Is it possible that what I'm thinking might not be actually true? Maybe I'm not good at math. Could that even be possible? Maybe I just work hard at math. Maybe I just happen to have an easy teacher. Like, what are the other possible stories behind this? And when you open up to that, it really does just create a lot of freedom, I think, to be able to say, maybe I can't do this. That could possibly be true, or maybe something else is true. We'll see. Feels like such a relief through my whole body when I tell myself that.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're you know, with what you just said, we're pushing up against really the culture that we live in and the way often that we've been raised. You know, we spend so much time emphasizing like our thoughts and our thinking mind and figuring things out and trying to fix things all day. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just normal, like human behavior to be in the mind. But there's, like you said, there's so many other ways of gathering information about ourselves, you know, whether it's through, you know, our body or our emotions, and to just realize that, the brain is one source of information that isn't always the most reliable, but like, you know, at 4 p.m., I can maybe tap into another, source of information, like my body. That's really also the
least reliable at 4 p.m. Good grief, right?
Totally. Like, yeah, it's ready to be tucked in and put to sleep and sing me a lullaby and put my brain to sleep. And like tuning into my body at that point, you know, my body might have a really valuable message like, Annalie, sit down. take a load off.
Eat something nutritious, like eat something nourishing, like listen to that instead of like, I need a quick sugar high, or my brain is like, you just need more coffee.
I've been powering myself with Ruffles today. Really helpful.
Moving,
trying to keep my energy up with Ruffles.
That's like a Tigger. I feel like that was a message from Tigger. Let's eat all the Ruffles today. But you're in America, so also that is your opportunity. This is your window of opportunity for Ruffles.
Totally.
Maybe we should close this episode and everyone can go eat some Ruffles or appreciate their Eeyore voice, surround themselves with the crew of the 100-acre wood.
Yeah, I'm going to go put on the soundtrack. I listen to it every day, honestly, to the last.
There's a music?
The last Winnie the Pooh movie. I think it's just called the movie, the Winnie the Pooh movie or something, but Zooey Deschanel sings a lot of the songs, and it is such a cute soundtrack, and it totally calms me. Oh, so go check it out.
Good tip. That just reminded me of the Curious George movie, because it was a children's movie, and it was the soundtrack was that Jack Johnson CD, which we played when my children were little. That is like we bought a minivan and listened to that CD in it on repeat for probably 2 years. And that is the soundtrack of my life.
So yes, I know that one.
All right, I'm going to try out the Winnie the Pooh soundtrack this afternoon.
Do it. Yeah.
Thanks, Annalie.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you. Good thoughts.
See everybody soon on Brain Basement.